Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I want to begin by mentioning a date that's very familiar to Bible scholars that study prophecy, and it's May 15th, 1948, after over 2,000 years in diaspora, the Jewish remnant, by scriptural promises, came back to the land and renewed their declaration of statehood. For the northern 10 tribes, it was over 2,500 years in diaspora. The southern 2 tribes, a couple thousand years. May 15th, 1948. I can remember that time very well because that was the year I graduated from high school in Dayton, Ohio. Would you believe that 68 years ago? God's been good. My sisters and I were blessed to be raised in a godly home in a farming community. And we attended the Presbyterian Church weekly and had some great teachers. My parents were both school teachers. I had a wonderful upbringing. I didn't really know at that time when I graduated from school the real message of May 15th, 1948, what was really happening. I knew something about Israel and all the stories in the Bible, but I didn't know the real significance of them coming out of diaspora to redeclare their statehood. Since I found that, wrote a booklet on a year's study I did on Israel, and there's really over 2,500 references in the King James Bible to the name Israel. I remember a teacher when I graduated from high school. He had to be led of the Lord to do this. He sat me down and he said, "I want you to know this is a very important date. Something tremendous has happened." And he says, "I feel led to tell you that you need to be a part of watching what's going to happen to that tiny nation." Tonight, I'm privileged to share with you a tremendous prophetic thought. It's found in Luke 21:24. I'll not turn there, but it says this, that the times of the Gentiles will in time find fulfillment. At that time, Jesus was saying it's still happening. And I want to take that term and share with you that scripture. Respected biblical scholars define the times of the Gentiles as that period of time during which Gentile powers will exercise ungodly, worldly dominion over the Jewish nation and its God-given capital, Jerusalem. I have a globe by my desk at home, and it reminds me daily of the numerous Gentile nations that are found on that globe. But it reminds me also there's only one Jewish nation, the nation of Israel. And I believe Almighty God has a tremendous sovereign purpose in establishing that nation upon this earth. Just a couple things that I'm sure you're familiar with. They were the primary writers of the Bible. 2 Peter 1:21 says that holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 138:2 says Almighty God holds that word up above his name. I don't think he thinks it's full of errors. I remember a college professor stating in a humanities class I was in that the Bible contradicts itself. And I was really ashamed because I grew up in a Christian family and I wasn't ready to confront him. I didn't know how to confront him. I don't believe the Bible contradicts itself. Psalm 12, verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. John 6:63 says, the flesh profiteth nothing, but it's the spirit that quickeneth. And the words that I speak unto you are spirit, and they are life. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furbished unto all good works. I love the words of our Lord Jesus, Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Proverbs 13:13. Says that God will not be pleased, but he will bring proper judgment that those who refuse to listen to his word. I don't want to do less. There's a chorus we sing. I don't know if you sing it here, but it says there's only one way, one God. And I love to see a congregation of people saying, one book, and it's the Holy Bible. It'll lead you to the promised land. This book reveals the plan of eternal salvation available to all mankind. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Timothy 2:4 and 5 says, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we can be saved. What a privilege it is to be with somebody who acts by faith on Romans 10:9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Likewise, the Bible tells us that there will be a day that unbelievers are going to have to face God. There will be a judgment time. And thank God, as we look even beyond that hour, there will be. It's Revelation 21 and 22 tell us a new heaven and a new earth. I never hardly miss a day without quoting some of that, 21 or 22. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There shall be no more sea, no more turbulence. He said he saw the holy Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He said, I heard a great voice speaking, And he goes on to tell us about that tremendous new heaven and new earth. You know, our Lord Jesus reveals that in this very hour, there's resistance against the tiny nation of Israel. I was at my desk today, and my daughter Sinmi brought me a word that was just spoken in Israel, and it's dated today, at today's date, and says Israel's 2015 report on anti-Semitism paints a dismal picture. We're in for some real shakings worldwide when we think of the issue of anti-Semitism. Hallelujah. Historically, in my studies, I found that the Bible points to six great world powers which have held dominance and dominion over the Jewish nation, historically. And I'll just mention them to you. And, of course, over Jerusalem. This is a time of the Gentiles. It's not going to last forever. I would start with Egypt, then Assyria, Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, then the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. And I believe in, I won't take time to read it, but Revelation 17, verses 9 and 10, speaks of a seventh super dominant kingdom or national entity will arise in these last days, exercising fierce anti-Semitic rule over the Jewish nation. That power will be in place at the time our Lord returns back to this earth in his second coming. Its leader, we've learned to refer to him as the Antichrist. He's the Assyrian. It will be such a powerful individual that the Bible lists him as not just a part of that seventh kingdom that's coming, but as a man. If there ever was a Hitler type, it will be this Assyrian. Hallelujah. I think we gain precious knowledge of this coming seventh world entity from a dream that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had in Daniel chapter 2, and Daniel interpreted that dream. It was a large image of a man, and I found tremendous truth of how he enlightens us about the times of the Gentiles as he goes down through that image of a man. There's only one tiny little bit that is yet to be fulfilled, and that's the feet and the toes. And I believe that gives us a picture of this seventh head that we could not be too far away from experiencing in this earth. Power that will be in place when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. It's amazing how accurate that Daniel 2 vision that Daniel interpreted is. My focus tonight is on the unfulfilled proportion of the image, the feet and 10 toes, which numerous scholars agree will be the final Antichrist kingdom to face Jesus Christ at his second coming. Noted prophetic scholars interpret the 10 toes as two groups of five nations. After all the years I've studied Bible prophecy, I don't have any problem linking five of those nations to Europe today, and they are an extension of the former Western phase of the Roman Empire. They're described as iron or industrial nations. But when we think of the eastern portion of the Roman Empire, there will come five states out of the Middle East, Persian Gulf area. It says they'll be nations like clay. They're not industrial powers. They're oil-rich nations. We can clearly see that forming today. And this alliance of 10 nations will be in place not too far hence in the future. Somebody may ask the question, time-wise, relative to these 10 nations, how far away are we from that? I'm going to be like my dear friend, a Jewish guide in Israel, and he would say, good question. Good question. Tonight, I really feel the Holy Spirit wants me to focus on a very relevant prophetic chapter in the Bible, Daniel 7, at least the first seven verses I'd like to comment on, because it fits right into where we are today. It contains amazing, very current, front page news today. Daniel 7 was a dream that Daniel had, whereas in Daniel 2 he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I think God wanted to set the Daniel 7 dream separate so we would pick up on the significance that it held. Before I comment on that chapter, in Daniel 12:9, the prophet was told certain prophetic truths would be sealed until the time of the end. When I think back 45, 50 years ago, I didn't hear Bible scholars talking about Daniel 7. There wasn't much talk about it. God wasn't ready to reveal the revelation of it. It's been since, and I hear comments more and more as to the significance of what's in these special verses I'm going to share with you, Daniel 7, 1 through 7. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that verse 1 of, I'm not going to read the scripture, I'm just going to comment, and you can, I urge you to study it for yourself. Verse 1 in Daniel 7 refers to Nebuchadnezzar's famous dream in Daniel chapter 2. But God separated what Daniel was given in a dream in Daniel 7 because he wanted us to see this clearly. And this is an hour where it's shining right before our face. In verse 2, Daniel sees heavenly angelic powers. I'm thinking about godly powers and satanic evil spirits wrestling over something there in the Mediterranean area. We know what it is. They're there to wrestle over the reality of May 15th, 1948 and events since. The devil's opposed to the continued growth of the Jewish state. Verse 3, the prophet, and I'm talking about the events could be very close at hand in their fullness. He sees four specific entities consecutively rising on the world scene in relation to the reestablishment of the Jewish state and henceforth. We've seen quite a few events since their reestablished in 1948. He tells us that the first entity that we need to recognize, it's likened to a lion. It's National Seal's a lion. The second, I'm talking about current history, will be a nation known as the bear. The third will be like a leopard. And hereby, as we see where we are in this chapter, we'll be able to phase in and understand the relative time factor when that fourth kingdom, or that fourth entity, will be revealed, the Antichrist 10-nation federation, which our Lord Jesus Christ will face at his second coming. I'm just summarizing my years of study, and I believe my whole heart that England has proven to be the British lion. It was the nation, a godly nation, that had the most in furthering the establishment of the modern state of Israel. But look, as I've watched over the years, there would be a weakening, and there has been a weakening that's occurred in the lion's commitment to the Zionist issue. Nobody can question that this has happened. Following the lion, this very amazing scripture in Daniel 7 says there will be a bear. We all talk many times about the Russian bear. One of these days in the battles of Armageddon, I don't have time to go into that tonight, but they'll come and they'll meet their Waterloo. The Russian bear, if you think about it in the 70s, it followed the British lion, came down into the Middle East, into Africa. It expounded the theology of communism and the anti-Israel position. The Bible says over a period of time, it would devour much flesh. It would spread its poisonous, anti-Semitic poison everywhere it could. But after this, and here's the focus of my sharing with you tonight, the Bible speaks about a leopard entity. Its wings are outstretched. It's got some kind of an influence worldwide. Many prophetic scholars, and more all the time now, are pointing to the recent history of anti-Zionist Islam as the leopard entity. And I concur. Last Wednesday, I shared with you some scriptures I believe speaks of upcoming military conflict between Israel and Islamic powers, Iran. I gave you special scriptures. Syria, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. The phenomenal number of missiles that they have pointed from the Gaza Strip up in Lebanon at Israel is absolutely amazing. Plus what Syria has, and look at Iran's power. It appears clear to me, or I wouldn't be stating this something like this publicly, that we're moving into the very leopard scene in this moment of history right now. This entity is fiercely opposed to Almighty God's divine purposes for the Jewish nation in this earth. They don't want to just defeat Israel. They want to obliterate it. Do away with it. Jeremiah 13:23 asks this question. Can the leopard change its spots? We learn from that chapter that the answer is no. I don't question at all that we're seeing the anti-Semitic spots of the leopard being manifested in this very moment of history. You know, in my prayer life, I do my best to pray for all nations, that they will experience the reality and truth of salvation. But when I think, is this leopard that we're seeing today going to change its spots? I don't think so. It's not what my Bible says. We're told in the Bible, I'm quoting verse 7 now in Daniel, that after this leopard scenario has run its course, and we're just in the midst of that time now, then the world will see the rise of the final 10-nation Antichrist kingdom, which Jesus Christ will crush at his second coming. This will bring to a close the times of the Gentiles. Hallelujah. In closing, I just can't emphasize enough, and I pray that you will consider a serious study of that Daniel chapter 7, because it's meant for us to hear in this hour. I need, as the servant of God, to acknowledge the words I read in 1 Corinthians 13, that we in this life, we look through a glass darkly. Thank God we've been born again and we have a renewed spirit, but we can still be victimized by the old Adamic nature. People know that. I'm not the final word on Bible prophecy, but I'm sharing with you things I believe with all of my heart. I put hundreds and hundreds of hours of study in Bible prophecy. In Acts 17:11, the Apostle Paul commended the Bereans because with all readiness they searched the scriptures daily. You know, I appreciate if I can hear from people opposing thoughts, and maybe there's something I missed. I need to remain teachable. And I'm especially thankful for people that will write out something. You know, something about writing it out. You're putting your name on it when you write something. And I've been blessed by remaining teachable. I have a lot of people that have shared with me. I've always tried to be open for correction. But I need to just emphasize again that this report that just came from the Times of Israel, they say that Israel's report on anti-Semitism paints a dismal picture. I had somebody call me long distance today and told me some of the things that are happening in Europe are frightening. a surge in Islamic extremism, blurring borders between anti-Semitism and anti-Israelism, and the European far right are cited as causes for rise in Jewish hatred. I do know this, that what's going to happen is under the sovereignty of God. And when it's all done, we're going to have to admit it's excellent. Psalm 8 says, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the moon, and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor. Goes on to say that God has given us dominion over the work of his hands. The beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. I'm just saying, O Lord, as that psalm says, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I don't want to go past the message that God's given me, but I do want to thank you that I could be here to share with you. It's good to see some smiling faces that I haven't seen for a long time. We're all on the same team. Let me pray for the congregation and for each of you before I return it back to Pastor. Father, thou art El Elyon, the Most High God. Thou art sovereign over all the affairs of this earth. And God, is your people, as the redeemed church of Jesus Christ, we're called upon to be intercessors and to love the Jewish nation. You used them to bring the Messiah to the world. Give us the Bible. It's an hour where we're to stand up for them and be a part of their continued restoration. God, I thank you for such a word hidden in Daniel chapter 7 that's happening before our eyes. And I just thank you that if I continue to live, I'll be able to express to you that you're going to finish what you started. And it's all excellent.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.